We turn in God's Word tonight to John 13, where we begin our reading. John 13, verse 31. And we'll read through John 14, verse 15. The first half of that chapter, having read the second half of that chapter this morning already. John 13, verse 31 through John 14, verse 15. We pick up our reading at the Last Supper as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper after Judas Iscariot had gone out from them, and Jesus begins to explain to his disciples that he is going away from them. John 14, verse 31. Therefore, when Judas Iscariot was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Our text is that last verse we read. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Beloved congregation, in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is hard for us to imagine what the disappointment of the disciples must have been in that upper room with Jesus Christ, as he announced to them, "I am going away from you." And as I told the Jews earlier, "They cannot follow me, so now also I tell you, you cannot follow me, not now. Someday you will follow me, but not now." When the disciples heard that, they were distressed. And their distress comes out as they begin to question him. Verse 36 of chapter 13, Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou? Where are you going? Where are you going that we cannot follow?" Jesus reiterates to him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." And Peter presses his question again, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And what Peter expressed was in the hearts and the minds of the other disciples too. This was their Lord. This was their Master. This was their Savior. This was the Christ. This is the one they had left all to follow. And now he says to them, "I'm going away from you." Their love for him, which love was worked in their hearts by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which love was worked in their hearts by God, their love for him made them press the questions upon him. "Lord, how can we know the way? Lord, show us the Father. Lord, where art thou going?" Jesus maintained, "I'm going away, and you cannot follow me now, but I will come to you. Let not your heart be troubled. If I go away, it's to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus instructs his disciples that in their love for him, as he prepared to go away, they were to obey him. That was the channel in which their love for him was to flow. They loved him. They wanted to be with him. They could not go where he was going now, but that did not mean their love was frustrated or vain or empty. "If ye love me," says Jesus, "keep my commandments." That's what you do in my absence. That's what you do until I bring you to myself in Father's mansion. If you love me, keep my commandments. And that calling of love can only be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is an application of the truth of Pentecost. If you love me, keep my commandments by the power of my Spirit, whom I pour out upon you, and by whom I come to you. If you love me, keep my commandments. This is an appropriate application of Pentecost also at the occasion of confession of faith. The confession of faith that the young person made this evening, and the confession of faith that we as a congregation made in the Apostles' Creed and that we make in this gospel, is a confession empowered by the Holy Spirit, who works love for the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. This congregation, by the grace of God, loves God. The calling that comes to this congregation that loves God is this: if ye love me, keep my commandments. Let's consider that calling of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening under the theme, Love's Calling. In the first place, consider love for Jesus. And in the second place, consider keeping his commandments. Love's calling, love for Jesus, and keeping his commandments. The text before us this evening is brief. It is 7 short words. Children, do you know what the most important word in this verse is? Here are the words. If ye love me, keep my commandments. 7 words. Which is the most important there? Well, that word love catches our eye. That's a pretty important word in the Bible. Maybe that's the most important. Or the word commandments. That's a very important word in Scripture. Or keep. Another very important word. Is it one of them? If ye love me, keep my commandments. What's the most important word? Here it is. Me. Me. That little word that we might read right over. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The heart and the soul of this text is the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks this text. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks this text then? What do we know about Jesus Christ? What would that have meant to the disciples who heard Jesus say this to them? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, think of what the disciples had seen of Jesus. The disciples had been called by Jesus to follow him. They had been called as his disciples, and they had been called in such a way that they were compelled to follow him. There was something about that call of Jesus Christ that was different from every other call, every other calling they had had in their life. They were compelled by that call to leave their fishing nets. That was their livelihood. That was their job. On one morning, they went to work. By that afternoon or that evening, they had quit their job in order to follow Jesus. They had been compelled by that word of Jesus to follow him as his disciples. There was something special about this me, something special about this Jesus. In fact, the disciples, as they talked to each other about the call to follow him, said, "We have found the Messiah." They knew from the beginning who he was. They saw his identity as the Christ, the anointed of God, who had been promised from the very beginning. They recognized this one by his powerful calling of them as the Messiah. That's who this me is. He's the Christ. What else had the disciples seen of Jesus? They had seen the blind given sight. Who can do such a thing? No doctor in the world could give a blind man full sight, but the Lord Jesus Christ had. They had seen the lame rise up and walk. They had seen the dead raised to life. The disciples had seen from the hands and the mouth of this Jesus the greatest wonders, the most powerful miracles, and they had seen in those miracles the fulfilling of the Old Testament prophecies of the prophet of Jehovah, who was anointed with the Spirit of God to give sight to the blind and make the lame to walk and give the spirit of joy in place of the spirit of heaviness. They had seen the Scriptures being fulfilled in this Jesus. They wondered at it. It was a source of awe to them. So that in that incident on the Sea of Galilee, when the storms raged and Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the ship, they came and roused him, terrified, said to him, "Master, we perish." And he came and stilled the waves and the wind with a word. Then they responded, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" They had seen this Jesus, this me, as a great, great, powerful prophet and Christ himself. And they confessed that throughout their life with him, as they followed him. There was that incident in John 6 when Jesus instructed the crowds who were following him for a piece of bread after he had fed the 5,000. When those crowds were looking for more earthly bread for their bellies, Jesus taught them the bread that he brought was the bread of life, and that he was that bread. They all left when they saw that there would be no more earthly food from Jesus. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" And what was their response? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." What penetrating faith. What depths of the truth the disciples saw in this Jesus. His power was not merely a power to make earthly eyes see and physical legs walk and earthly life be restored. He had the words of eternal life. And then there was that incident when Jesus questioned his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" The Son of Man, the Son of Man, he said, "Who am I? Who do men say that I am?" "Well, they say you're Elijah, they say you're some other prophet, but whom say ye that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. You call yourself Son of Man, and so you are, so you are. But we know that you are the Son of God too." That's what the disciples saw of this me, of this Jesus. They saw his power, they saw his glory, they saw the salvation that he brought. And these disciples then had their faith in this Jesus. They believed in him. Jesus talks about that a little earlier in the chapter, in John 14. At the beginning, he says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Believe in me. That means that Jesus was the foundation of their faith. That means that Jesus was the content of their hope. Everything that they were, everything that they hoped to have, was pinned on Jesus. If they did not have this Jesus, they had nothing. Literally, they had nothing. They had left their livelihoods to follow him. But if they did not have this Jesus, they had no eternal life either, for he was the Son of God, and he had the words of eternal life. The disciples had their hope pinned on Jesus Christ. He was their foundation. That's what they knew of this me, this Jesus. They identified with him. They were his disciples. They belonged to him. They followed him. His cause was their cause. The disciples had seen that too in their following of Jesus, that their cause was identified with him. Because Jesus was so often opposing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who had a different cause than Jesus. And the disciples did not identify with those Pharisees and those Sadducees and with those leaders of the Jews. They identified with Jesus, except for one of them, Judas Iscariot, who was not a child of God. He identified with the leaders of the Jews and betrayed Jesus to them. The cause of the disciples in the world was the cause of Jesus Christ. If they did not have him, they had no cause in this world. And they had no cause in the world to come either. That's what the disciples would have seen of this Jesus and what they knew of this me who said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And that's what we see of him. We see wonders. Great wonders. Those wonders recorded in the Word of God. We see him still the sea and the wind with a word. We see him raise the dead and give sight to the blind and walk and the power to walk to the lame. We see those things by faith in the Word of God. And we see the spiritual reality of those wonders. We see that spiritual reality in a young person of the church who sees God and sees the kingdom of heaven and sees the Savior as hers and stands before the church and says, "Yes, I believe." That sight that the Lord has given. We see the wonder of the Savior in giving to you lame men and women and to me lame man the power to walk. We see his power in the raising of the dead so that we who are corrupt in ourselves have life. And what kind of life is it? The life of heaven. So that our life, even now, is hid with Christ in God. And we live, though we're on this earth, we live the life of heaven itself. The life of the Savior Jesus Christ. You and I have seen that. We know that wonder of that me who says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And our faith is pinned on him. Or to say it more theologically, Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. We embrace him by that faith and look to him by that faith and hold on to him by that faith. He is the content of our hope, everything that we are and everything we hope to have is pinned on him and founded upon him. We identify with him. We are his disciples. He is our Lord and our Christ and our mediator. His cause is our cause in this world. And what a thing to have his cause as our cause. The causes of this world all turn to dust. They evaporate as a vapor. But the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ is everlasting and eternal. For it is the cause of Jehovah God, the cause of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ and in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your cause. That's my cause in this world. We too see the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and have our hope fixed on him. There's the most important word in the text. Me. Me. The heart and soul of the calling of love is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus speaks in the text of loving him. If ye love me, love me. What is this love for Jesus Christ? This love is the deepest word for love in the Scriptures. This love is not merely a liking of someone. There is a kind of love that likes someone. That love is primarily in the affections. There is a certain attraction of one towards another. We might say, I like you. I'm attracted to you. That's this like. The love that is spoken of here is not a love that touches only the affections or the emotions, but it's a love that penetrates the whole being of a man. It's a love that encompasses his mind so that he has knowledge in this love. It's a love that encompasses his will so that he has purpose in this love. He purposes to love another. It's a love that encompasses also his affections, so that he is very much inclined to this other. Jesus speaks of this deep love that takes hold of a man's whole being. And that love has as its object Jesus Christ. We know him. We're moved towards him. We desire him. That's this love. This love has its source in God Himself. This love comes from God, who is the source of all love, for God is love. This love of God, which He has for His people in the Lord Jesus Christ, is shed abroad in our hearts, fills all our hearts, and has as its effect that we love him in return. If we were to draw a diagram of that love, that diagram would look something like this. Maybe we would draw a cloud up above to represent heaven, and God is there in heaven, and then we draw the earth beneath and put ourselves on the earth. The diagram of God's love would not be a circle. So that love comes from God down to us, returns to God, and is recycled in Him and causes Him to love us again. And this love goes in this circle. That's not the diagram of this love for God. The diagram would look more like a hairpin. It begins in God. That's its eternal terminus from all eternity in the beginning. That love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, takes hold of us, and causes us to love Him in return, and that love returns to God and finds there its end terminus as well. That love is to the glory of God. That love goes to God and to His glory. And it's not that love from us that starts the circle over again. That love begins anew from God Himself, with Him as its source. That's the diagram of the love of God, and that's such consolation for the child of God, because if His love for us depended on how good this love was that goes back to Him, it would never come back to us. My love for Him is too weak. It's real love. It's true love. I have that love in my heart. I know that love. I feel that love, I desire that love, I have it there, but it's so weak. It's too weak to go to God and be the cause of His love to return to me. It's too polluted with my sin. But the love of God, having its source in God alone, is a love that will never die, a love that will never be exhausted, coming as it does from the eternal heart of the eternal Father. That love is inexhaustible. And that means, too, that my love for Him is an inexhaustible love, because it's a love that comes from Him by His own work, which He causes to return unto Him. I love God, and I will never fall out of love with God. That's the hope of the child of God. Not just this, that someday I may go to heaven. Oh, that's my hope too. But my hope is this, that for all my days I love God, and I love Jesus Christ. I want that. I don't want that love to wane. Because that love that we have for Christ is rooted in the love of God, we know that He shall preserve it to His own glory. That also warns the child of God against the folly of loving this world and loving the things of this world. That's not the object of your love, beloved. God's love is not given to you and to me that we may turn our hearts to all of the filth, the passing vanity here below. Knowing the eternal love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are warned against love of the world and called unto love of God. This love of Jesus Christ, of which he speaks, is also a true love. It's a true love. Not only is that deepest love, not only is it a love that has its source in him, but it is a true love of God and a true love of Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as a false love. And we can see that false love all around us today. The world speaks of love. But the world's love is false. The world's love is vain. You can hear that false declaration of love in all these empty, shallow slogans. Like, we're all in this together. How often don't we hear, we're all in this together today? Oh, really? We're all in this together. How deep is that love? How far down does that slogan penetrate? Look around at the world today. What is it like? The world today is a powder keg. Our country is a powder keg waiting to blow. For you children who don't know what a powder keg is, it's a barrel or a keg filled with gunpowder. And all it takes is a little spark to catch that gunpowder in that barrel, in that powder keg, for the whole thing to blow up like a bomb. That's what our nation is like right now. We're all in this together. But the tensions are so high. The frustration runs so deep. Frustration on the part of government officials. Frustration on the part of the citizens. Frustration with this event, and anger over that event. And that frustration, that tension, is building. The energy in this nation, the negative energy, is almost palpable. And it's just waiting for a spark. And boom, there goes the nation. That's the love of the world. That's as deep as it goes. We're all in this together while we kill and smash and burn the world down. That's not true love. And young people, remember that about the world's love. It's not true love. It's shallow. It's meaningless. It's just a slogan. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is true love. It is love that puts self aside to serve the other. That's true love. It's love that is willing to be the lowest. The one who girds a towel on himself and washes his disciples' feet, though he's the Lord of heaven. That's the love of Jesus Christ, and that's the love that he gives to us as his church. Love that looks across the way at that brother or sister in Christ and says, I'm lower than him. I'm below her. How can I serve that fellow saint? What can I say or do to ease that fellow saint's journey through this life? Regardless of who we are and what we think our importance is, love that serves is the love that is true. Love that abides. Love that seeks the good of the brother in Christ. And then fourth, regarding this love of Christ, is an antithetical love. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ discriminates. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is love for him to the exclusion of love for the world and the things of the world and the pride of the world and the vanity of the world and the hope of the world and the goal of the world and the life of the world. The child of God does not love those things. The child of God hates those things. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is antithetical. It stands over against the world. The love of the child of God is a love for the neighbor. If the neighbor's house collapses under a fallen branch, we'll help him rebuild it. We'll give the neighbor a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple. That's love. But the love of the child of God does not love those things and those goals that the world loves. Does not count the worldly members in this earth to be our cause in the world. Does not say about the philosophies and the vain theologies of this world, those are my philosophies too. We stand over against all those things. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is an antithetical love. And the world more and more catches on. And that's what the love of the church is. Though the world cannot accuse us of anything, the world nevertheless begins to see these people are different. These people have different goals. These people have a different Lord. These people have different values than we do. And we hate them. We don't like those goals. And we don't like those values. Because they will not contribute to our glorious kingdom of man. They have their eyes fixed on a different kingdom. That's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ that excludes love of the world. Jesus says about this love, if ye love me, if ye love me. Jesus is there not calling into question whether the child of God will love him or not. That's not the meaning of the if at the beginning of the verse. Jesus expects the love of his people. The if at the beginning of the verse points us ahead to the work that Jesus was yet to do. At the time he spoke this, he had not yet died on the cross. He had not yet risen from the dead. There were more works for him to do that would draw his people to him in love. The if does not call into question the love of God's people, but expects the love of the people. If ye love me, and you will, and you do. The Lord Jesus Christ expects this love, that is, declares this love will happen, because this love is the working of his people's faith. Faith works. Faith works strenuously. Galatians 5, verse 6, faith which worketh by love. Faith does not work when it receives from God all of the blessings of salvation. Faith does not work when the righteousness of Christ is declared to be ours. Faith does not work for the assurance of that justification. Faith's works have nothing to do with all of that receiving of the blessings of salvation, the righteousness which we receive from God through faith. Luther called a passive righteousness. Faith does not work to receive all of those blessings of salvation. But faith works, having received all of those blessings. That's because the nature of faith is a union to God and a union to Jesus Christ, connected to Him by faith. His life flows into us. Through that faith, we know His love. Through that faith, we know our Savior. Through that faith, we receive all of the blessings of salvation. That faith, receiving God in Jesus Christ, works by love. That's the work of faith. Faith loves God with the mind and the will and the heart and the affections. Faith loves Jesus Christ. Faith works by love. Jesus indicates in the context of this passage that this love is the fruit of the disciples' faith. Earlier in the chapter, he says to Philip, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Well, that seeing Jesus and seeing the Father is the sight of faith. Verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me?" Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." When Jesus now comes to verse 15 and says, "If ye love me, if ye love me," he declares that there shall be this love, and that there is this love as the working of the faith of the disciples, which means that this love is a gift of God, as faith is His gift to His people. Jesus also expects this love of Himself because of the election of the disciples. They were His elect people. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's elect church. And that election is identified in the word "ye," if ye love me. Well, who are the ye? They are the disciples of the Lord, the chosen sheep who are given by the Father to Jesus Christ, and no man can pluck them out of His hand. You are elect. And that election is the fountain of every saving good, including faith and including the love that is the fruit of that faith. That's the love for Jesus that he speaks of here in the text. If ye love me, what? If ye love me, keep my commandments. Jesus here is instructing the disciples what their life was to be in this world while they waited for their place in glory to be ready, and while they waited for Jesus to come and take them to himself. Jesus had just announced, I'm going away from you to a place you cannot come right now. You will be able to come there someday, but not yet. I'm going to make that place ready for you. And now if ye love me, and I know you do, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's your life in this world. That's your life while you wait. Keep my commandments. What are these commandments of which Jesus speaks? They do include the Ten Commandments, the law of God. These commandments of which Jesus speaks, though, are all of his precepts. These commandments include all of his sayings. That means they include all of his doctrine and all of his teaching to his church. It includes everything he said and everything he did, as well as everything he commanded. That this is the meaning of commandments is evident from the context when Jesus speaks repeatedly of his word. Verse 10, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Then we read in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. See the similarity between that verse and our text. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Verse 26, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus spoke and he spoke and he spoke. His words and his sayings and his teachings are what the disciples are to keep in their love for him. The disciples are to keep these things. That keep means a careful guarding and attentive watching of these things that Jesus has said and commanded. As we've seen before, that word keep is a military term referring to a soldier keeping a city who, as he keeps that city, watches. He does not slumber. He does not become indolent and lazy in his work, but he keeps the city, watching it. So also we are to keep the sayings and the commandments of Jesus Christ. The key to understanding this keeping of the sayings of Christ is to see that this is a keeping by faith. It is not the kind of keeping of the Pharisees, because the Pharisees kept commandments too. But the Pharisees kept commandments as though the commandments were just a checklist. Tithe, mint, anise, and cumin, check. Do not travel more than such and such miles on the Sabbath day, check. This commandment, that commandment, the next commandment, check, check, check. The Pharisees' keeping of the law was a superficial checklist keeping of the law. The object of their law keeping was their checklist and their own commandments. The object of the law keeping of the child of God is Jesus Christ. Our faith is not fixed on some checklist. Our faith is fixed on Jesus Christ the Lord. And therefore, the keeping of his words and the keeping of his commandments involves our entire being. It's not superficial, but from the heart, by the grace of God, we watch every motion of our heart. We watch every twitch of our will that we keep the words of Jesus Christ. We watch that we keep His doctrine and His truth, which is always under assault. If you love me, keep my words. We watch that we keep the first commandment of the law. If ye love me, then have no other gods before me. Not the god of drink, not the god of pleasure, not the god of the vain philosophies of this world. If ye love me, keep my commandments. With faith in Jesus Christ, we keep the second commandment. If ye love me, then worship me as I have commanded in spirit and in truth. If ye love me, keep my commandments. With faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we keep His commandment regarding murder. If ye love me, then do not bite and devour the neighbor with your words. If ye love me, keep my commandments. In love for the Lord Jesus Christ, out of faith, we love the neighbor as ourselves, which is the new commandment by which men see that we are disciples of the Lord. If ye love me, love one another, keep my commandments. The child of God does all of this rooted in that me, in that Jesus Christ, whose love for him is so great that he gave his own life on the tree of the cross to cover all of our sins, bearing our curse in our place. That's the me that you and I see by the Spirit in our hearts who opens our eyes to see him. And now, beloved of Jesus Christ, listen to his word. If ye love me, and you do, keep my commandments. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts. We thank thee for Jesus Christ, our Lord, the mediator, thy Son, our Savior. Apply his gospel to our hearts tonight and open our hearts to hear the calling to obey him and to keep his commandments. Make it so by thy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter number 334. Thy word sheds light upon my path, a shining light that guides my feet. Thy righteous judgments to observe, my solemn vow I now repeat. Only stanza one only of 334.
Thank you.
Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.